Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another show of At Home with Victoria, with your host, Victoria Gaither, and co-host, Michael Kay.
Everybody, it is Thursday evening. Actually, the weather here is pretty fantastic. The humidity is cut in half, and we're going to have a great show. I'm Michael Kay, entertainment co-host for At Home with Victoria, and thank you for joining another edition of At Home with Victoria. Victoria is actually away tonight. She has her very first summer cold. We all know how those suck, so we're sending her the best, and she'll be back next week. Tonight we have an amazing show lined up. A buddy of mine, Robbie Ramirez, turned me on to A Naughty Thing Called Life, which is a book written by Papa Spike, or Edward Papa Spike. His story is amazing. He was a professional rugby player, model, actor, and now an author. He'll be with us to tell his you won't believe what this man has gone through to come out on the other side, and it'll be exciting. And then the music from Nashville's own Chase Allen will be spotlighting throughout the show. Another Marilyn Bennett find and a fantastic artist, and can't wait to go ahead and play him. So I'm not going to. We're going to start off with a little bit of music when we get back. Hopefully Edward is listening and can go ahead and call in, and we'll see you in 4 minutes. This is Chase Allen with See You Amazing. Coming up right now, Papa Spike.
Started, we're dancing tonight like the snow tomorrow. Hold on.
you know what would be really amazing if Edward would go ahead and call in. I know he's calling in all the way actually from London. He's from Brighton. So maybe we're having trouble with the international calling, but I'm going to go to my ever popular and ever trustworthy producer, Marby in Nashville. Marby, how did you find Mr. Chase? I'm curious.
Michael Don Quinn put me on to Chase.
Don?
Yes, Don was in Nashville recently. Don, as we all know, is an incredible songwriter from Mississippi, and he is a personal friend of my husband and I. And he told me about Chase, that he heard him singing on Broadway downtown Nashville on his latest Nashville visit just a few weeks ago. So I checked him out on YouTube, and I thought, amazing. His song is amazing, but he is amazing.
Yeah.
So I messaged Don and said, I want him on the show. And that's how we got Chase. And he is so personable. I've talked to him on the phone. He's got a wonderful personality. He has a winner's personality. I really look for him to go far.
Absolutely. Well, Don Quinn is actually up in chat. I want to make mention of everybody up in chat, Don Quinn especially, all the new guests. Robbie Ramirez, thank you for joining us tonight, and Sandy from Nebraska, which is all here. But, yeah, Don, if you have 30 seconds, give a call in to 718-664-9364. I'd like to know how you're two for two. That's Anna Johnson he gave us, and then he gave us Chase Allen. And wasn't there a third that Donna turned us on to, Marilyn?
Yes, at this moment I cannot remember. But he's very supportive of our show. He is very supportive of our singers.
Yeah.
At this moment, I cannot think who else he's given me because
I've got so
many
names
rotating in my head.
Yeah.
But he's incredible himself.
Yeah.
He is an incredible songwriter.
He's got a few new songs coming out. You can go ahead and check him out at donquinnmusic.com, I believe, and actually hit him up on Facebook. If you're actually interested in going ahead and picking up Edward Spike's new book, A Naughty Thing Called Life, he's actually on Amazon.com/ A Naughty Thing Called Life. And his private website is actually Papa Spike, PapaSpyk.com. And also, you can go ahead and Google it. It comes right back up. Yes, I'm hoping he was, when I talked to him this afternoon, I said to take a nap. He says, no, we're going to go out celebrating. And I said, ha, ha, ha. And I thought, uh-oh. That may not, because I think it's 1 o'clock there right now. So he's certainly, I'm hoping he's up and at him and about to go ahead and call in, but, there we go, Robbie.
Celebrating with our Shannon Sybald in England.
In
Jarrow,
yeah, absolutely. I wonder how far it is between Jarrow and Brighton. It can't be that. I want to ask him about the Olympics, too. You know, I mean, the Olympics must be. I'm sure with all the regalia on television, everybody's very, very happy to watch them. But I think it would be hell living in London during the Olympics, having that influx of tourism, which, of course, you welcome their dollars, but not total strangers to your streets and stuff. But have you been watching the Olympics at all, Mayor?
Yes, we watch every night. The only part I have not liked is the beach volleyball. How did it get in there? I don't understand that.
I don't know. I don't know when handball became an Olympic sport either.
I was watching that today. We've enjoyed it. We watch it every night to see what happened during the day and cheer for the USA.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mar, hold the line. I got a 601 call here. I want to check and see who this is. Hi, you're live on the air with the Home of Victoria. Who's this, please? How are you?
Hey, it's Don Quinn. How you doing?
Don Quinn, buddy. How are you? Thank you again so much for referring Chase to us. It's you're a gift from God.
Chase has become a good friend, man. He's really excited about him. So I think he's going to do some great things. I really watched him just explode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How's Anna doing? Have you talked to Anna lately?
I haven't got to. I know she's been real busy doing stuff with hers, getting her album ready and stuff. So
Molly Hunt was the other one I think you found for us. That's who it was. Am I correct?
Yeah. Yeah, Molly, right, yeah. I'm promoting that. She's trying to push her music when I see it. But she's got a lot of great things going on, too.
Absolutely. What's going on with you, Don? What's new in the hopper? Where can people find out more about you?
Still, actually, on Reverb Nation, I've got a lot of songs added on there since the last time we talked. I got just a couple of Country Kids, It was Yes. I mean, there's a ton of new songs on there. I just finished a brand new one we got on there called Just Can't Stop the Rain, and excited about that one.
Yeah. And that one's on your Facebook wall on Reverb Nation?
Yes, it is.
Great, buddy. Well, say hi to your wife and everything, and thanks for calling in. I just wanted to go ahead and thank you personally for lending us all this wonderful talent. You know, you're truly, you know, doing God's work up there.
I appreciate it. Good talking with you, bud.
Absolutely. Good talking. You take care, man.
Thanks, Don.
Don, what a kind guy. Yeah, Molly Hunt. I forgot that was the last one that we had with her, too, so... That she was a young thing too, and I've been following her actually on her wall and stuff like that. And she's playing at the Bluebird, where you are, Marilyn. She's playing.
She's
12th and Porter. She's playing at too. I
yeah.
saw that. Wow. You know what? Let's give a listen to a little bit of Molly Hunt. This is Molly Hunt with Radio Official. Hold on, Mar.
Love it.
Came out like la-di-da and did it down. My answer.
out with radio. Such a charming little gal, Marilyn. You know, Marilyn, we still don't have Edward calling in. I really do think he probably just got drunk in the bar and everything, but we have the next best thing. My good friend, Robbie Ramirez, actually is on the line from Talent Contacts International. He's the CEO and president there, and he was the one that actually went ahead and turned me on to Edward. Robbie, thanks for joining us tonight.
Hey, how you doing? This is Rob.
I'm doing well, buddy. Thanks for pinch hitting tonight and stuff. I'm wondering if he's just having problems calling in, which could be totally the case. But tell me how you got to know who Edward Spike was.
Well, back when I was looking for celebs on Facebook, which is, I tell you, it's like pulling teeth. You never know who's real. You never know who's fake. Well,
that's
he
right.
turned out to be one of the real ones, you know. And for a while there, I consider Facebook to be a large restaurant in which everybody's sitting, you know, and because you can't see them on the other side, you don't say hi to them, you know, and then never so often he would appear and I click like on a picture or something like that, you know, and then finally one day I actually got to reading one of his links that told his story, and I was floored, man. I just could not believe what this man went through, the kind of life that he's had, you know. And you know that I promote a lot of bodybuilders and all that stuff, you know, and he fits right in and everything, you know.
Absolutely.
And, and just to see what he went through, you know, this is a great story to get out to people, to get out to the, to you know, for my bodybuilding guys, you know, I kind of like, hey, read this, you know. I tag them in a post or something like that. Or I dropped the little mini story in their inbox, and it's just amazing what he's been through and how many surgeries he's been through. The man has been through, I believe he's been through 4 reparative surgeries for his ribs alone because of his heart surgery.
Absolutely.
You know, and then just to have that beautiful little girl that he has is just priceless, man. You know.
I know. We could sing his praises all night, Robbie, but I want to go ahead and introduce everybody. Everybody, this was Edward, Papa, Spike, Buddy. Thanks for finally joining us. How
Yay.
Are you?
That's me. Yay.
How are you, buddy?
Oh, I'm fine. Sorry, I've been trying to get through, and for some reason I couldn't get through at all.
No problem. Marilyn and Robbie, I'm going to thank you. I'm going to put you on mute. I want to go ahead and talk to Edward
thank
for a little
you.
Bit. But thanks for calling in, Robbie. And Mar, just hold free.
Yeah.
Edward, my friend, did you have a nice time at the bar?
Yeah, I drank a couple bottles of wine, and I'm feeling pretty good.
Fantastic. Well, we've been really, you know, like I said, hailing after your story here. Let's backtrack a little bit. Let's go back to the glory days of pro rugby. You're originally from Belgium. How long did you play rugby for?
Well, I started playing rugby in South Africa when I was 6 years old until I retired when I was about 28, 29 professionally. And then I went to America and started modeling, and then I went to Hollywood, did a few movies as a stuntman, and then got a few roles as the bad guy, of course. Always try to be a lover, but they would never allow it. But and I actually loved it. But the problem in Hollywood, like, you know, is the cocaine, which I got into.
Is that when you started to get heavily into cocaine, when you hit Hollywood?
Yeah, I had never even smoked a cigarette until I got to Hollywood.
Yeah,
you know, I was a health freak. It was just unbelievable.
It's so funny that it's so funny that I hear so many of these stories from really super healthy people that end up having, you know, life-altering life situations. And let's fast forward a little bit to the day of which, may I just say, sir, you are an inspiration, because what I have read is just stunning. I ordered your book on Amazon.com. I took the last one, by the way, so you may want to replenish that supply. I saw you on Facebook doing that. But let's go to July 13th, 1997, making dinner in the kitchen.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing I can remember, I was cooking dinner in the kitchen, and my wife was in the living room. And all of a sudden, I felt like someone stabbed me with a massive dagger knife right through my heart. And I collapsed on the floor, and I called my wife. I said, call an ambulance, something's wrong. And she thought I was kidding. Mm-hmm. And she ended up going back to bed and fell asleep. And 3 hours later, she woke up panicking, so I wasn't in bed next to her, ran to the kitchen, found me ice cold on the floor, no pulse, nothing. She thought I was dead.
Mm-hmm.
Called the police saying, my husband's just died on my kitchen floor. The police arrived a few minutes later with paramedics, as they normally do, an ambulance. And they put an adrenaline needle through my heart, got my heart pumping, going again long enough to get me into surgery. And when they opened me up, they saw my entire aorta from my heart went under my legs and split in half.
Wow.
They tried to sew it back up, and I was on life support. I went straight into a coma. I don't remember any of this, but I was told this afterwards. And then a week later, it split again, and they put me back in the surgery, and they replaced my aorta about a foot and a half, about 18 inches worth, with a plastic one to my heart. And I was in a coma for about 5 or 6 weeks. They wanted to amputate both my legs at one stage.
Right.
Because both my legs had died, so I had no blood flow, because the aorta is the main artery that supplies your arms and legs and your brain with blood.
Right.
And my father said to them, you cut his legs off, pull the plug, he's been an athlete his whole life, he'll never want to be alive with no legs.
Mm-hmm.
So what they did, they cut my left leg in eight places, and they flushed the blood through from my abdomen. I don't know how they did it, but for about 4 or 5 weeks. And my left leg is still 100% dead, but my right leg came back to life about 60%.
Wow.
And I was told I'd never walk again. Be brain dead, paraplegic, never father or child. And it's been hard.
Yeah.
You know, and then I came out the coma, and I'll never forget this. My father was holding my hand. He was squeezing my hand so tight, you know, and he had tears in his eyes. I had never seen my father cry.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to him, Papa, why are you crying? He says, we thought we had lost you twice. So apparently, during the 6 weeks in a coma, I flatlined twice for over 10 minutes. And the surgeon said to my parents, say your goodbyes, he's gone. They called a priest in and gave my benediction or whatever you call it. And I pulled through, you know, and then I said to him, where's Javiera, my wife? He says, we don't want to hear this. I said, what do you mean? We got a knock on our hotel door at 7 p.m. last night, opened the door, and there was no one there. Just a big bag of clothes and a note saying, don't ever try and contact me again.
Really?
And I said, what do you mean?
That's cold, buddy. Oh, wow.
I know. Personally, you know, I think she did it because she felt so guilty. Because if she had called an ambulance when I told her to, probably nothing would have happened.
True.
You know what I mean? Because I was left on the floor for 3 hours, my entire aorta split. You know, every minute it got worse and worse.
Yeah. But did she leave you while you were in a coma?
Yeah.
So you didn't even know she had left when you had woken up?
Oh, no.
Oh, buddy, I'm so sorry.
I have never seen or spoken to her since then.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
So after that, I mean, you've had to, I'm suggesting you would have had to go through rehabilitation of some sort. I mean, that is long, grueling physiotherapy and everything like that. How long did you actually, because you were moved into a different facility with 24-hour nursing care at this point.
My parents, this happened in Chile in South America where I had my heart attack. And they moved me back to England where they live in Rye.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent 2.5 years in bed, paralyzed from the waist down, 24-hour nursing. and all I could do is stare at the ceiling. You know, I couldn't move. I couldn't lift. I went from about 250 pounds of solid muscle to about 110 pounds in about eight
wow.
weeks. Skin
wow.
and bones, you know. I was so weak, I couldn't lift my head off the pillow, I couldn't move my arms, I couldn't move anything. And after the 2.5 years in bed, I was in a wheelchair for about 4 or 5 years, told I'd never walk again. And then one day I came home, 5 years on, I said to my father, I don't care what it costs, give me the best physiotherapist money can buy, I'm teaching myself to walk. And he said, Spike, you can't walk. Your legs are dead. Trust me, I'm doing it. And I started doing physiotherapy. I did the physiotherapy for about 18 months, about 3 to 4 hours a day. Most painful, excruciating thing I've ever done in my life, but I did it.
Yeah.
You know, I walk with a slight limp, but at least I'm walking, you know, and...
I saw a picture of you on Facebook. I think it's one of the new ones that you posted, and you certainly you don't look any different. I mean, you certainly look a little bit slight and everything like that. What's your weight right now?
Probably about 175, 180.
See, now you're the perfect model weight, Edward.
Yeah, but I don't quite look good enough to be on camera.
Well, your story alone is putting a lot of decoration. But so you decided to go ahead and walk again. 18 months in physical therapy. Then you found true love on the internet.
I wouldn't say true love.
Not true love.
What happened? What happened was I joined a dating online dating site, and I met a girl on there, and I started talking to her for like 5-6 weeks, and I kept saying to her, come, let's meet up, and she was like, no, not ready yet. And one day, she called me, she said, Spike, I'm ready tonight, I'll meet you at 7 p.m. in Maidstone at such a bar. I said, cool. It was my first online date ever. I didn't know what to think or do. And I got there an hour early, and I drank a couple of bottles of wine before she even got there. I was off my ear by the time she walked in. And she walked in, tapped me on the shoulder, turned around, started kissing me all over and stuff. And I was like, slow down. We sat down, and we started talking for about half an hour. And after about 40 minutes, I said to her, I'm sorry, this isn't for me, I'm going out.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked to my car, I went to start my car, she opened my driver's door, and she said, Spike, I'm not letting you drive under this condition. I'll take you home, and I'll come pick you up and bring you back to your car in the morning. I obviously agreed, because I woke up naked in her bed the next morning. Anyway, so that was that. And then 6-7 weeks later, I get a phone call. She said, Edward, I'm pregnant. I'm going, what?
Really?
And so I said, all right, fine. Let's go to the doctor, get a scan. And the funny thing is, the second I held that scan in my hand, I felt such a connection for this little baby, angel, whatever you want to call it. And I went home that night, and I called her. I said, can we meet for lunch tomorrow? She said, yeah, I'll meet you for lunch. And I met her for lunch, and I said to her, you know, I was told I'd never father a child. This is a true miracle. But I think we should get married for the sake of this baby. You know, because I wanted to have a proper mother and father, a proper family life. Blah, blah, blah. I said, yeah, I'll marry you. We got married 3 months later, and then Angelina was born 6 months later, and... it was just unbelievable, you know, the bond Benjamin and I had immediately to this day is it's undescribable. I can't describe it. It's just unbelievable.
Well, the pictures with you and her on Facebook are truly, you can tell you love the little girl a lot. Does she have a lot of your personality?
Oh, she is so much like me. It's frightening. Scary,
yeah.
Really. The other day she woke up, she said, to me, Papa, you know something? I'm extremely talented. I was like, what? When I grow up, I want to be just like you. I said, no, you don't.
Yeah. Oh, God. Edward, we have live chat going and live email at the same time. Want to take a couple questions from email?
All right.
Great. Debbie from Dallas wants to know, how did you afford all the surgeries? Which is actually a really good question. I mean, is that...
the initial surgery in Chile, that's 11 paid for. Because I didn't have enough money to pay for it. My dad paid quite a lot of it.
Right.
And then, which I think one of the reasons I've done my book is so I can afford to pay it back one day. And then all the other three open heart surgeries I've had were done privately. And my father paid for every single one, but the number one heart surgeon in the world. It's cost him over $500,000.
Wow.
But it's just amazing. But you know, the funny thing is, the other day...
Go ahead, Ben.
The other day, I was having dinner with them at their house, and I said to my dad, you know, when my book becomes an international bestseller and I do my movie, I want to pay you back every cent.
Yeah.
You know what he said to me?
What?
Spike, it was Angelina. Will you ask her to pay you back? I was like,
you know, good one though. Yeah, you know, Dad, you would do the same thing for Angelina and stuff. But
yeah, exactly.
I actually read somewhere too that the taxi drivers in Santiago actually took up a collection with regard
to his
Save Spike. Yeah, wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
See the kindness
also,
of people,
yeah,
buddy.
Oh, I know. It's amazing, amazing. I mean, the support I've had on Facebook alone is mind blowing. You know. It's unbelievable.
I just want to go back to the surgery again, too. Did they actually physically have to remove your rib cage? I don't know how this kind of operation...
No, they cut it open.
They could just cut it open, yeah.
They cut it in half.
Wow.
But the thing is, because it's been cut open four times... about 4 or 5 months ago, I went go-karting, and I got T-boned at full speed and on the side, and my entire ribcage dislocated. I tore every rib from top to bottom split open, and I tore all my intercostals, and the pain was just horrific.
Yeah.
And to this day, I'm in constant agony with it.
Jeez, buddy.
Yeah.
You should never leave the house, Edward. You should just close the door and sit like I do with a box of wine, and you have all the fun in the world, and no one runs into your house with the car. Now, let's talk a bit about your new book and stuff. It's released, you released it last year, I believe. It's called A Naughty Thing Called Life. Let's talk about the title. Is there naughty in the book?
I would say so. I used to be one hell of a naughty boy when I was in my prime.
Well, yes, I was looking back at your earlier modeling photos and stuff like that, and it's like, yeah, I would have partied with you real big time, buddy.
Yeah, no, I've had a good life. Trust me, there isn't much I haven't done. But at the same time, I have done some extremely naughty things, which are all in the book, you know, like trafficking kilos of cocaine from Peru to Chile to Argentina to South Africa to Florida. You know,
that must have been nerve-wracking as hell.
But I tell you, that I've never, ever experienced anything like it.
Can I ask where you hid the drugs?
What happened is I went to Peru because my coke dealer, the biggest coke dealer in South Africa, sent me there to pick up one of his kilos. And they built a special suitcase that they guaranteed me could not be tracked, or the cocaine could not be seen by any camera, dogs, or anything. And I trusted them, and obviously it did work.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
He put 150, he sewed 150 grams into my jacket, which I ended up doing on the flights.
Boy, you know, seriously, I can get diarrhea if I'm really upset. Never mind if I'm, you know, moving that much cocaine around. But the book is available, like I said, on Amazon.com and stuff. And the book majorly is to go ahead and pay back some of the medical bills and everything. But what's on the horizon? How's your health today? How is everything going today? I saw on Facebook you were going to the doctor a couple of days ago with some chest pain. But
I had major surgery again about 6 weeks ago, because when they replaced my entire aorta in 2009, they replaced it from my knee all the way to my heart. And they cut my abdomen diagonally, and they took out my six-pack. And over the last couple of years, my entire stomach had popped out into a massive, massive hernia. Mm-hmm. So I had to have that repaired. And they pushed the stomach back in, they put a wire mesh around, and they rebuilt my six-pack somehow. I don't know how, but they have. And then a couple of days ago, I started getting a lot of fluid build up around the scar, because the scar is from my sternum all the way down to my stomach, below my belly button. And they drained all the fluid out, and now I'm finding it. I actually feel amazing, to be honest.
That's great.
It's a miracle.
It's a friggin' miracle you're alive, buddy. I mean, that is, I've never heard anybody, you know, subscribe to absolutely so many incidents that at times you just want to, you know, give up. I mean, I just, you know, your determination is pretty fantastic. I do have to say. Are you back? Go ahead.
No, it's just from the support I've had from my parents, my three brothers and my sister, and all my amazing friends I have around the world. You know, they've just kept me going and given me the strength and desire to keep living, you know.
Yeah, no, definitely. People can also go ahead and catch up. Can they contact you on Facebook, Edward?
Yeah.
Facebook.com/ Edward, EDOUARD, SPYK. I'm blown away, buddy. What's next for you? You want to go back into acting?
No. My acting days are over. My ultimate dream is to have a Hollywood film made of my story, because I think it would make one hell of a movie. You know, yeah. I mean, what I've put in my book is pretty tame to the actual real life things that I've done. I mean, it's all real. It's all there. But I could expand on every chapter I've written, you know. And the thing with my story, it's got everything in it to make it an amazing film. You know, it's got danger, it's got drugs, it's got jail time, it's got orgies, it's got inspiration, motivation. Yeah. It's got everything in it. You know, pure love with Angelina.
Have you started to shop the book around at all to any of the film houses?
I've got an agent in L.A., and she's doing that for me, and the response has been phenomenal.
Great.
You know, it's just, I need to raise like $30,000 or $40,000 to get the script done.
Right.
I just don't have the money at the moment, sadly.
Well, that'll happen in spades. Also, too, I don't know if you're familiar in Brighton, but there's a website called Kickstarter that a lot of Americans go ahead and use to go ahead and fund their projects, whether it be a new book, a new film, a new album, and stuff like that. And it's on Kickstarter.com. You basically put up your project, you give it 90 days, have people voluntarily go ahead and give money to you, and people have raised like, you know, 50,000-60,000 on that within 90 days. So if you haven't checked it out, I would highly recommend you do.
Oh, I've never heard of it. What's it called?
Yeah,
Kickstarter.com,
KickStarter.com. I'll send you the link in your private email and stuff so you have it.
Yeah, do that. Yeah,
There's that, and there's Indiegogo too, but that's a nice way to go ahead and start making some good money fast. And, you know, our show, thankfully, right now is in 23 countries, so I'm hoping someone else is listening to this and knows the people and the powers that be to go ahead and make it happen. But, yeah, it's quite a good thing. But I see this being a Hollywood movie. Who would play you in the movie?
Me as I am today, I would like Bruce Willis to play me.
Wow.
And me with a shaped head, yeah.
Yeah. He'd have to really get in shape for this role.
Yeah. No, but as he is now, it's pretty much like I am now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But being my prime, I was thinking maybe Vin Diesel or Jason Statham,
yeah. He'd be good too.
Yeah. Yeah. Or I like Rock. You know,
even Daniel Craig,
Dwayne,
you know, that wouldn't be a bad idea, Daniel.
Yeah, I don't know if what it looks with the shaved head, but yeah.
Well, I'll shave his head, no problem.
Yeah, no, it's. Hold on, I'm just trying to get a drink. Oh God, these bloody ribs hurt.
No problem, honey. Buddy, we're running out of time. I do want to go ahead and thank you so very much for joining us. I'm sorry you had problems dialing in and everything like that, but please understand you're welcome back anytime. Our audience is going to go ahead and keep following the book. Marilyn's been doing a great job putting that back up in chat, all the links to go ahead and find you. But once again, Edward, you are an inspiration to me and many others. I applaud you. I send you prayers and namaste and the best light and hugs to Angelina. But you're a fine man, and I cannot wait to see your film hit Hollywood. I really can't, buddy.
Thank you. And can I just mention my blog or my website? It's the title of my book, www.anaughtythingcalledlife.com. Because people can order my book, the new edition to my book on there directly, and they can read about my story and what I've been through. There's hundreds of pictures of me and Angelina and my modeling days and acting days, all on there.
Absolutely. Anaughtything.life.com, aboutlife.com. Edward, my friend, you're a great man.
Anaughtythingcalledlife.com.
Anaughtythingcalledlife.com. You know it.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Like I said, anytime you want to come back, just please hit me up, and we'll have you back after. Maybe we'll have you back after you start up a Kickstarter and you get a couple $100,000 behind you. That'd be great. That'd be a great story.
Yeah.
Cool
amazing,
beans, buddy.
Yeah. I'll have a look at that first thing in the morning.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Well, Michael,
thank you so much,
pleasure.
Buddy. My pleasure. Absolutely, and love to Angelina.
Soon.
You got it, man.
All right,
take
we'll
care.
Do.
Thanks
Cheers,
again.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. You've been listening to Edward Spike, anaughtythingcalledlife.com. You can go ahead and read his blog and go ahead and pre-order his book there, too. Also, hit Amazon.com up for Edward Spike, EDOURDSPYK. And I see, finally, we have our lovely Chase Allen here. So we're going to go ahead and go back to a little bit of music because, you know, I'm driving the car tonight, and that's what I say we're going to do. So this is Chase Allen. With what shall I play? How about It's Your Love? Coming back with Chase Allen. Don't go away. One thing that Welcome to the show, Chase. How are you, buddy?
Oh, great, Michael, man. I appreciate you and Victoria having me on. I'd like to put a shout-out to Marilyn Bennett. It's wonderful being with you here. I'm living the dream here in Nashville, or in a lot of work. And, great story, man. Spike, what an inspiration, man.
Buddy, you got to check out his blog and stuff because he just kind of sifts over it. But the book itself is pretty amazing and just a great source of inspiration and never giving up. But
that's a great song in itself, bro. It makes me want to run out tonight and write a new one.
There we go. Actually, earlier in the show, we played See Amazing for him because I think he's an amazing guy. But See Amazing was a fantastic song. Give me a little bit of background of where you came up with that, Diddy.
That song there, I just wanted to, you know, there's so many songs out there talking about, you know, looks and all this stuff. I kind of wanted to write a song, you know, showing that, you know, it's not all about looks. It's about, you know, what a woman is. I mean, how you relate to her on a almost a spiritual level. You know, it's not just her outside beauty, but inside. You know, and that was the inspiration behind that song. And that song is going to be released as a single, and on all the radio stations that report to Music Row in the near future. So that's going to be my first single. So, and I've had great reviews on that song. It might be the song. I'm hoping, cross my fingers, that can finally break me out. I'm getting great things are happening for me here in Nashville.
Now, you're just on a cusp, my friend. But let's back up a little bit. Let's go back to Chase is a small boy. Did you come from a large family, a small family? Are you originally from Nashville? You're not from Nashville.
I grew up in a small town. Well, it's kind of like this. I lived in a small town in Ohio, but I went to Florida, too, back and forth.
Right.
I grew up in a small family. I had one sister. I grew up I have a Southern gospel background. I grew up, my mom was a song leader. That's where I first was introduced to music in the church. And then it went on from there, rock and roll, where I went on and I opened for some major rock groups and stuff, commercial groups. There was a couple times where I was real close to being signed by some major labels, and I kind of wanted to do something myself. That's when I came to Nashville and a solo act. And it's working out wonderful. I've worked with so many wonderful people here, top guys like Tolly Kennedy and Rich Redmond, Jason Aldean. They played on my material. Tom Bukovec, who's done all kinds of work with Keith Urban, Chris Luthinger, who's a band leader for Garth Brooks. I've been able to work with. And that's just to name a few. And it is a team effort down here. It takes so many people.
Kenny Greenberg, Pete Coleman too. I mean, that these are Pete Coleman is, I think, one of the finest sound engineers that I've ever actually had the pleasure of not meeting. I haven't met him, but I've certainly studied a lot about him. But
wonderful guy from England. He did Pat Benatar, her stuff. You know, he does all Jason Aldean. He just did mixed a couple songs with Lady Antebellum.
Mm-hmm.
When you work with guys like that, it gets you in the frame of mind of where you need to be to take your career to the next level. And I wouldn't do anything different. And I'm glad I did. It's a lot of work down here. And it's not for the faint of heart. And it's everything is about relationships here. It doesn't matter how good
you
are.
Absolutely.
You are swimming with
some of the top industry professionals in there, and I really do. This is why I love talking to singer-songwriters and recording artists from Nashville, because the thing that I feel that is established and developed in Nashville is, I call it assholeitis. If you are, an asshole, people will not work with you. Still in L.A., New York, Florida even, so you can have a little bit of a diva syndrome. But Nashville, they don't fall for that crap at all.
That's right. It's really a small town. And the word, your character and how you handle yourself around people, it's so important. And you got to have a likability about yourself. And if that's half the battle. And the other half, of course, you got to have the music and vocals, and all my stuff. I produced it all, I wrote it all, and I sung it all. And I'm really involved with all the music from all phases, everything, from the guitar, from strings everything about the music, I'm really, and that's the only way it happened, and so I'm kind of a performer / songwriter, I'm a performer first, but it's been a joy. It's been such a joy meeting people. And your live musicians I play with down here, they're just as important. The guys that are on stage with me, that had nothing to do with the recording, but those guys are your compadres. They're the ones that bring it to the people for you and represent you on a daily basis. It's been wonderful. And it's been a lot of hard work. Like I said, nothing good comes for free. And sometimes it takes going over that mountain, and getting in those valleys to bring out the best in you, determination, it's inspiration to meet people like yourself and Spike, man. It's just fabulous.
Oh, you're sweet, buddy. Let's talk about inspiration. Who did you listen to growing up?
But growing up, man, I was a big fan of Vince Gill, Steve Perry, Journey, Paul Rodgers, Bad Company. All the great performance guys that brought I even went back and I lately I was listening to Janis Joplin, Fleetwood Mac, you know, I mean, just a lot of great artists like that. I even like Johnny Cash, you know, I mean, it got people that were kind of like stood on their own instead of sounding like everybody else. There was, you know, there's, and that's who inspires me. People like that that bring a great show along with great God-given talent, you know, and everybody has a story. And,
absolutely.
You know, and some are better than others, and some roads are long and some roads are short. But you know, it's just a matter of, you know, just keeping opening up those doors until you can, you know, and going around. And once a door is closed, you just look for another door to open up and keep rolling with it.
The key is to keep moving. Even if you don't know where to go, you keep moving because eventually something goes ahead and clicks.
A lot of good things happened, Michael. Lately, I've been nominated for the top male independent country artist in Nashville.
Congratulations.
I'm getting ready to sign a deal with Holly Guidry Group, and they've represented Tracy Lawrence in the 17 number one hits. They've worked with Keith Urban. They've worked with guys like Brian White. I mean, the list goes on with their promoters / management. They get you ready for the red carpet is what they do. They get you ready, you know, for the big time, you know.
I have to suggest that, you know, everybody needs a little training on the red carpet.
Oh, yeah.
I've done only two red carpets in my life, but the second one that I had done was so large that it was daunting. And it's like, wow, I did it sober, Chase. You would have been so proud of me. Usually I like to have a couple Chardonnay to warm up, you know, just to kind of take the edge off and stuff. But I thought, no, these are some big fancy people. I got to put my thinking cap on here. But it was quite something. But let's go back to some music, buddy. I'm going to go ahead and cue up Let Me Go. So give us a little bit of background on Let Me Go.
Let Me Go is a song. It's talking about, you know, of course, a relationship. And we've all been in relationships where we might be in love with the other person, and we might still be in love. But because of circumstances and circumstances where we just can't be with that person anymore. And the song basically is telling a woman, you know, that, you know, I it's time to, you know, to go our separate ways. You know, I don't want to hurt you anymore. I don't want you to hurt me. And it's personal experience, you know, most all my songs have been from really, from inspiration, from personal experience or friends, you know, so it's a God song. You know, but I think the women like it too.
It's a guy song. It's a good song. So
Don't
go anywhere in chat. And chat, actually, if you want to have questions for Chase, go ahead and start typing them now in chat. And when we come back, we'll answer those questions and hear more about Chase Allen on the road. Until then, this is Chase Allen. Let Me Go. Don't go anywhere. go. Let me go, Chase. Let me go right to chat, Chase, because during the night, of course, we have the ongoing live email and chat room and stuff. And, you know, it's 9:03 here in the East Coast, and there's, a few women drinking cocktails and everything. So, of course, the question in the chat room coming from, let's see where it's coming from. It's coming from Los Angeles. Is he single? It's those questions.
Wow. You want to know if I'm single? No, I'm married.
Good for you.
I am married, and I have two little girls, and it's been a long road, and it's when you're in the entertainment business, I don't tell anybody that it's a tough road, but it can be an enduring road, it can be great, at the same time, it's a long road.
Yeah.
But I would be remiss if I wouldn't put a shout out to Don Quinn, Mr. Don Quinn. I know you had him on earlier.
He's up in chat right now listening to you. He's a good man.
Yeah, and I'm doing one of his songs, Just Two Country Kids. And I'm going to be doing that. And actually, I'm working on it right now. Great songwriter, Mississippi. I had the pleasure to meet him and his wife up here. I was doing an acoustic thing at Just Kickin' Saloon down in near Broadway. And I called them on over. They were in town, and I came over and I did, I think, three or four songs for them, and they loved it. So
I think you guys are going to be a great pair together, Chase. Absolutely. Yeah. Going to go back to chat for a second here. We were talking about this just a couple seconds ago. I have a message asking for advice on how to get through the low times in music. That's a great question because, you can work your ass off in this industry and until something,
right.
And it takes the one thing to make it click, either with, a stupid viral video from YouTube or just one little lick that clicks. But how do you go ahead and get through the low times?
And there's been a lot of them. And believe me, there's been a lot of great times, and there's more to come, but how do I get through it? It's just persevering, when everybody says you can't, you gotta wake up every morning and say, I can do this, the sun's going to rise the next day. It's a bad day today, but tomorrow's going to be a good day, and you got to keep persevering, keep knocking on those doors. For every person that says, I might not be interested, there might be some, there's going to be somebody out there that could be interested in you, so you just keep walking that line, man. You walk, that's true. Walk the line, and you just keep your head up, man, and keep, if you're a writer, you just keep writing. If you're a singer, you just keep singing, and you just keep developing your craft. That's been lost a little bit, I think, in today's music. I think it's like in old school, man, they used to develop their craft, whether it was guitar player, singing, songwriting, and you just hit it every day. Do something, make something. Every day you wake up, say, I'm going to do something. It doesn't matter if I write a song or meet someone or show someone your music, and things will happen if you just keep persevering.
Well, the talent will always shine through. A few months ago, a friend of mine bought over some music software that she had purchased, and I had uploaded into my computer because I'm a fan of the music, Chase. You know what I mean? I thought, I play piano, I dabble. I mean, I play by ear.
Right.
I can't read a lick of music and stuff like that, quite frankly. But so I got the software, and I loaded it in. It took, an hour and a half and everything like that. And then, of course, the nighttime came, and I went to my libations, and I had a few glasses of Chardonnay, and I made this music. And I thought, holy crap, is it ever good? And then I got worried. No, but then I got worried because if me can put together that just from sampling and it's just editing software kind of a thing. I didn't play a lick of instrument, didn't do a lick of vocal, but it was one of those things like, oh, this is, I think, what's happening wrong with the music industry. I mean, no one's really even playing instruments. The diehards are. But so much crap out there is so synthesized. What are your thoughts on social media music?
Well, my thoughts are on music in general I think that in the back of the day, man, when they did, if you look at some old school music, there was no tuning, there was no the automation. I mean, those guys went in there and they sung. Paul Rogers, Steve Perry, they even back in that year earlier in that. Elvis, they had to, there was no tuning, Pro Tools, they had to come in and they had to perform. And I think it needs to get back to that. And just like my music, that what you're hearing there, they didn't do much. they didn't have to tune me very much. That there's not a lot of effects on my voice. I'm the type of singer that call me old school, but I bring it live, you know, and even better, you know, than my CD. But I think it needs to get back to the basics. And people, and there are guys out there, don't get me wrong, that are working their craft every day and really want to do something special with their music and their voice, gals and guys, you know, and I think that's awesome. And what happened, though, in the industry, you know, whether it's pop music, country music, rock, things start getting too, you know, cluttered, too overproduced.
Yeah.
You know, and then you lose when you see these cats live. You're like, wow, that's not like the record.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, so yeah. I think that you need to, if you're going to do it in the studio, you need to be able to do it live. You know,
absolutely.
And, you know, and no cheating. You know,
here's a question for you too. I someone posted a picture on Facebook. It was of Kenny Chesney playing guitar at one of his concerts and stuff. And then the caption, and he said, "What's wrong with this picture?" Basically, he was rocking up, but his guitar wasn't plugged in. So, and that was during a live concert, I think, in Alabama and everything.
Uh-huh.
So, I don't think that's really cheating if you actually played it on your own CD.
No.
And, you know, due to weather conditions, I don't want to get electrocuted in my guitar. I mean, I think
that's
legit, wouldn't you think?
Yeah. I have no problem with that. I'm talking more of like the things in the studio, you know, live, man. You know, there's all kinds of things you can add. And even live, you know, you're never gonna, you know, like, for example, this is some of my songs that I have 8 different guitars. You know, I can't reproduce that solely live. It costs a fortune, and I'd have to bring like 15 people on stage with me. So you gotta kind of like hit the hooks, you know, and with the guitars playing and stuff, and you know, yeah, you gotta get it. I believe you gotta get as close as possible, but at the same time, you know, to keep it sounding like your album. But at the same time, you know, I mean, you know, guys like Kenny Chesney, he's pretty much earned the right to do whatever he wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Oh, absolutely. I think we all know that it's all smoke and mirrors. That when you need solid talent, but I mean, it's a show. I'm producing a show for like 50,000 people. Yeah, I've got to put some earrings and a belt on it and make sure that everything's all jingly and twinkly and everything like that. But
it's
what do you think about the – I'm sorry, I want to just go here because I'll forget sure as shit. Let's go to the reality shows. I don't know – definitely, I know you're too busy to go ahead and watch any kind of television and stuff, but what do you think about that whole capitalistic machine that sifts out people and the story has to be so great to actually amalgamate into things like American Idol, The Voice, and The X Factor? What do you think about that whole –
That with X Factor and The Voice and all that, I mean, I would not, you know, those people that do that, you know, I mean, that's awesome. I mean, I think that, you know, if they have a story too, you know, I would not say anything to rain on their party, you know, because I don't know, you know, I don't know the people that are on that, you know, of course, you know, it's image, it's Hollywood, you know, and anytime you're entertainment, you know, I don't care if you're here in Nashville, in L.A., big part of it is image, you know, and you got to, as an artist, as a songwriter, you know, when you're a songwriter and an artist, it's different from just being a singer, because gals and guys that write music, our hearts in the music, you know, and it's a little different, and because it's part of us. When you hear my songs or anybody out that writes their music, you're hearing part of us, and that we created. You know, so it's like an artist, you know. But far as that, the whole scheme of what's going on there, I know a lot of the shows have made, you know, they're making a lot of people a lot of money, you know, and it is what it is, and you can't get away from it, and it's part of the money making machine, capitalist society we live in, and as long as there's going to be people that are going to watch that, it's going to be, you know, they're going to be successful, I guess, you know. And I'm not saying it's wrong or right. I'm just, it's what it is, you know, what I concentrate on, I don't worry really about what other artists are doing. I just try to be Chase, and I try to be the best I can and be different. That's the thing. I want to stand out, and my vocally, my music, I want it to be different from the Jason Aldeans, from the Tim McGraws, from the Keith Urbans. I need to stand on my own. Because if I come out sounding like Jason or Keith or any of these other guys, it's just going to be another knockoff, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't want to be another knockoff. And the whole thing is what you're bringing up is a great point. You know, it's hard to get away from that because it is all about the big money, you know, and image.
Yeah.
Because here in Nashville, if they don't think they're going to make money off Chase Allen, they ain't going to work with Chase Allen. And I have no problem with that because
mm-hmm.
you have to have viable material. You got to be sellable. You know, it's a business. You know, it gets to that point, a business. You need to separate that from the songwriting and the creation in the business. You know, there's two parts, you know. So,
yeah.
And once you're able to do that, then you can be successful, I believe.
Absolutely.
So,
no, I really do think that the reality show thing is just simply in high school, and then if you win one, then you've graduated, and then the industry we'll see if you're cut out for it. You know, the industry is a nasty animal, and the industry will weed you out if you're not strong enough or talented enough.
That's
and
right.
That's why the
right.
strong survive, you know, those people
right.
doing it for 20, 30 years. So.
Yeah, you're right. And you can be a great singer and a great songwriter, and if you're not accountable, responsible, you know, what people want you to do, they weed you out there too. It's a whole gamut of things that you got to go with. You can't be out, you know, drunk on stage in front of, you know, A&R people or, you know, you got
to
bring a good
show. Oh, no,
it
doesn't even have, I don't think it has to be anything that big, Chase.
Yeah.
I think simply being on time can be a deal breaker
right.
for people. You
that's
know what
right.
I mean? Because this is, I've never understood time is money more than in the music and film industry because
right.
that is, shitload of people waiting on
that's
you
right.
to go ahead and make things happen, but
you're right. Being on time is a big thing,
yeah.
big thing to these
yeah.
You know, to in the business. And that's part of responsibility. It's just not about having a great song, great look, and a great voice. It's more than that. They want people that are going to be accountable and responsible and long term. They're looking down the road. You know
right.
how this person, how 2 years from now, what's he going to be? You know,
yeah.
in
oh, no,
so
absolutely.
Yeah.
One of my most favorite singers and I'm proud to call friend and personal friend is Shelly Rann. If you haven't met her yet down there in Nashville,
mm-hmm.
have Marilyn hook you up. You and Shelly have to get together and have some, you know,
right.
coffee or some
sure.
beer at El Chico's and stuff like that or 12th and Porter. But she was
right.
one, too, because when we first started the show, actually, this is our 201st show. We're very, very proud of Chase. But, yeah, thanks.
Congratulations.
Thanks. 23 countries. We're pretty proud. But she was one of the early few episodes where I would just call for music because we were doing live remotes and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd have her music within, you know, an hour and a half. Everything is all for me. And there's no money. You know what I mean? There's no money till
right.
people ask you to be paid. So it's one
that's
of those
right.
things where you have to keep on promoting and doing and doing and doing. And
that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. You're right. And it's a lot, and there's a lot. There is not, you know, in Nashville, when you're an independent artist and you're putting money, it's not that you're losing money. You're investing money in yourself,
mm-hmm.
and for long term goals and stuff.
Yeah.
So I mean, and there's a lot of successful independent artists right now, you know, out there. It's a different world we live in with the access of internet, websites. You know, I mean, it's opened up. 33, I think it was 33 or 40% of all the money in music last year went to independent artists.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I mean,
absolutely.
There's nothing wrong with being independent. You know, I mean, if you can move your music and you can be playing, you know, and making money that way and stuff, playing out shows and stuff. So, and
yeah.
there's a lot more independent artists than there ever have been.
Yeah.
Are
you finding
yeah.
social media is helping you a lot? I mean, you're on Facebook. Your band page is on Facebook. You can also go
yeah.
to Reverb Nation / go ahead.
Yeah, it's helping and stuff. But I was kind of like, what I did, I kind of did a reverse. I concentrated on my music a lot
mm-hmm.
before I worried
right.
about, you know, the media stuff. I really wanted to nail down my sound. So I spent a year in solitude just writing and writing and writing by myself. And then I happened to meet Fred Vail over at Treasure Isle, who was the original Beach Boys promoter. He was 17 years old from L.A. He's an L.A. boy. And he heard my stuff. And he said, wow, this guy can be something. And so he brought me in. He hooked me up with a lot of great people, you know, and musicians and stuff, and brought me in kind of under his wing and helped me, you know, helped me at the very beginning. And so yeah, it's the media now. Now I'm starting to get in a lot of the media stuff. But I always, man, I really wanted to nail down my sound first. It's so important. Because
right.
the websites right. can be made in 2 weeks. You know, a good website, week, maybe a week now, you know, and so, I mean, I really wanted to nail down my music first. But, yeah, social media, you got to have, you know, Facebook,
yeah.
relate to your fans, you know, and it's a must. So
yeah.
it's you got to have it, you know.
Yeah, cool beans. So, buddy, it's 9:19. We're running out of minutes, 11 minutes left. Tell me what you have in the hopper coming up.
Well, right now I got August 21st. I'm playing at what they call the Billy Block Show. It's a local show here in Nashville for local artists. And you kind of have to be. I mean, you got to be pretty good to be playing at this. It's on WKFD radio station. It's promoted through all the internet. It's gonna be anybody can watch it. Internet. It's a live show. It's a great time. I mean, everybody. You know, I mean, he's worked with Keith Urban. He's worked. A lot of people have played this show. It's at the Mercy Lounge in Nashville. And then September 29th, I have a show with it's for Ronald McDonald House. It's down in it's gonna be at the river downtown Nashville. Over 10,000 people are gonna be there. It's called the second annual Southern Cook-Off, and all the proceeds go to the Ronald McDonald House. And I play at 3:30, I believe, down there, and right in the middle stage, prime time. And basically, I got other shows. I'm doing some acoustic stuff around town. And really, I'm getting geared up to work with the Holly Guidry Group because they're going to be having me do radio interviews. Like I said, they're going to release a single for me. And they got a lot of shows coming up for me in the future and stuff. But I've played at places like Third and Lindsley, the Rutledge, you know, all the stuff, you know, 12 and Porter, and you know, the rounds and stuff around Nashville that you have to play. Everybody,
yeah.
I mean, if you're an original artist, you need to play those places. But if people just need to follow my Twitter or my Facebook and you know, Reverb Nation to see what's going on. And there's going to be a lot of exciting. I'm really excited, Michael. There's a lot of great things coming down the road for my music. A lot of people like my music. I've had great response. I've been playing some radio stations in New Zealand, Australia, England,
fantastic.
You know, out west, you know, and I've had great response, and it's a blessing, you know, it's a blessing to meet people like you, you know, and you know, having me on, so that's part of it.
Buddy, you're so kind. I want to go ahead and thank Don Quinn for introducing us, and thank all the new guests, Mar B and Nashville Producing. Robbie Ramirez still helping us out, and Shannon Sebold calling in from the UK. Chase, buddy, I love your music. Your fans love your music. I'm happy you were able to go ahead and join us tonight. I thank you for taking the time. I see nothing but beautiful, beautiful skies for you that way. We're going to send off with You Say Goodnight. Give us a little bit of information about You Say Goodnight, because it's a brilliant song, buddy.
Well, You Say Goodnight, what happened? 2 years ago, you know, living in Florida like I did, there was a little girl named Summer Thompson. She was in second grade. She was 7-year-old little girl from Orange Park, Florida, is where she lived. On October 19, 2009, she was walking home from school with her 11-year-old sister. They had an argument, and she ran ahead, and she was abducted, kidnapped, sexually assaulted, murdered.
Wow.
And they found her body across the border in Georgia in a landfill. You might remember that case.
Yeah,
just
I do.
Recently, a guy got life in prison. And I sat at home, and I was sitting behind my piano, and I said, you know, it brought tears to my eyes, you know. I mean, the whole story. I had friends that lived down there, and they were upset about it. Everybody was. And so I went and I wrote this song called You Say Goodnight, and it's about anybody who's lost anybody. I just recently lost my father about 5 weeks ago. He passed
I'm
away.
I'm so sorry.
And it's for anybody who's losing somebody or lost somebody. And what it is like you can the song, the whole concept of the song is the only time you can be with that person is in your dreams. And so every time when you're falling in that dream state, this person is saying, the night to you, and then you can, you know, then in your dreams, you know, that's the only way you can be with the person. So it is about loss, but also it's you know, it's about, you know, hope too, you know. Mm-hmm. And but she inspired that song, but it's for anybody that's lost someone or losing anybody. So it really hit home when I lost my father 5 weeks ago. But you know, it's part of life. And if I can use my music to touch people in times of need, that's what it's all about, Michael. It's not about Chase Allen.
Fantastic.
About helping people, the people that can have I can cause inspiration for other people, and that give them some joy and positive through my music. That's what it's about.
Yeah, I lost my mom last month too. So thank you for you know, writing this song, because you know what? Let's dedicate this song to your dad and my mom as we go ahead and play it out. Chase, I want to go ahead and thank you for joining us. Please
thank
feel
you,
free. At Home with Victoria is your home anytime. Anytime you've got stuff coming in the pipeline, please go ahead and call me. I want to thank everybody up in chat for a great show tonight. I want to thank Edward Papa Spike for joining us. Top of the hour. His book is called A Naughty Thing Called Life. Check it out on Amazon.com. Chase, love to you, love to your wife, love to your kitties. Thank you again for joining us, buddy. Take care.
Thank you, sir. Have a great night.
Bye-bye. Talk to you soon.
You too.
We're going to sign out with Chase Allen. You say good night. Good night, everybody. God bless.
been listening to At Home with Victoria, an interactive news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Download us on iTunes as a free podcast and like us on Facebook. I'm Shelly Rand, musician and announcer for At Home with Victoria. Download my CD on iTunes and Amazon and friend me on Facebook.